feel that you're really sincere, that you really are genuine, that it really touches. But if you are just trying to flatter, or if you're just trying to make it sound good, you're going to be in trouble. Just like this guy, you might be knocking on someone's door and saying, I messed up. The two shall become one flesh, and that's what God really wants. And really, the way that I have found that can be the most deep, I cannot explain to you, I cannot really say how that it all happens, but I have witnessed, I've seen couples that have sit in my office that really looked impossible, and they look at each other just like that lady was looking at that man. It's like they hold each other's hand and they look into each other's eyes, and you can see the result of someone that has the walls all down. And really, God wants relationship like that. He wants us to be able to have that kind of closeness, to really be one in Him. It's all about heart in marriage, and really heart in marriage is all about the first three letters there. It's all about Him. It's all about letting Jesus in and really connecting with Him and letting Him be the part that really binds us together. In that, there's a threefold cord, and it's not quickly broken. It's like it holds things together, and there's a certain blessing in all of that. There's a word that I really wasn't familiar with. The word is philophobia. And I just simply really wasn't acquainted with this word. Maybe you are, maybe you have been. But that word means a fear of emotional attachment, fear of falling in love or being in love. And I wonder how many people there are that really maybe have this and don't even realize it, don't know it. God wants to be able to remove that. And one of the ways He does that is through love. The Bible says there is no fear in love. There's no philophobia, not in love. There's a fear of falling in love. There's a fear of emotional attachment. But when that is experienced, the wall comes down, and there's no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. From the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then, they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. God is doing this work of making hearts knit together and becoming one. There are at least three types of relationships. Maybe there's more. But there's those that cope. There are those that compete with one another. And then there are those that complete each other. You know, I oftentimes share the toothpaste principle here. When my wife and I was married, I was someone that always liked to roll the toothpaste from the bottom and just keep it all nice and plump, and it was all ready for the next time you were ready to use it, and you just are emptying that tube as you go. Well, when my wife would use the toothpaste, she would come in and grab it right in that nice plump middle and just squeeze it. It would be all crumpled laying there on the counter. I could not understand. I could not understand why that always happened. And I tried to explain. I tried to present my point that I thought my way was more efficient. But it just seemed to continue to persist. We resolved that issue. Now I have my personal toothpaste, and she has hers. Actually, even when I look on the counter and I see her toothpaste all crumpled up, I smile. You know what makes me smile? Because that's my wife's signature. That's who she is. I see that, and because I know it represents her, it just ignites something inside of me, and realizing that I'm not in competition with her. I'm not competing with her. I'm not just coping with this issue. She really has brought so much into my life that she is really completing my life. And I look at that, and it just makes me love her all the more. Even just a crumpled tube of toothpaste laying there on the counter. But when we can see that in each other, it does something in the way of bringing out more for each other and out of each other, and it really causes our love to grow. And it can be a tremendous, tremendous blessing. And there's such value. I don't think there's any greater value in representing the gospel of Jesus than to see a marriage that where two people really love each other. And there's just this interaction, and they're like friends, and they really enjoy being together. I can certainly say that. There's times, yes, I know my wife, my mother told my wife, you must really love Danny. You must really love him. Because he's been so difficult that I have said, anyone that gets Danny has just got to love him. And I don't know what she meant by all of that. I think my mother loved me, too. But it's putting up with all of the aspects of a person and who they are. And yet I think that we both would say we really enjoy being together. It's fun. And, you know, we can plan things, and it's okay. We just like to be together. And it can be really fun. There's a scripture, and it's kind of a heart monitor that we can use. We talk about locking our heart and not being able to open up. And here it says, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And I think there are four ways, and you just seen in that one clip, there's a way that we can express love, and it's through words. The word that's spoken here could be the written word. It could be a letter. It could be a card. It could be expressed in whatever. It's a broad sense of what word would really mean or represent. And then he says tongue, and that's more in just words that are spoken, not just written, but specifically spoken. That's another way to communicate and to share. Deeds, to do action. There's times that I've asked my wife, do you feel loved by me? And she'll toss me the dish towel and said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And she'll say, help me start drying these dishes. Actions, deeds. And sometimes it does call for that, and sometimes I might say, wait a minute, I'm not sure that I was really ready to get into that, but being truthful, that is another aspect, just being authentic, genuine, and honest in the way that we reach towards someone. In this particular passage, I didn't list it, I don't have it, I don't know that I can quote it, but just up a verse or so in this passage, it talks about how that when we see someone in need, our brother, I think it says, in need, why do we shut up our bowels of compassion toward them? And that's like a heart being locked. And something is interrupting the ability to be able to give because the heart is closed. Love cannot grow in an environment where there is bitterness. Love can grow in an environment where there's forgiveness. Love can't grow in an environment where there's pride. But love can grow in an environment where there's humility. Love can't grow in an environment where there's distrust. But love can grow in an environment where there is trust. Love can't grow in an environment where there's a focus on my personal rights. But love can grow when I'm willing to yield my rights. Love doesn't grow where there's a lack of respect. But love can grow where there's respect. Love doesn't grow where there's evil, where there's sin. But love does grow where there's truth, where there's genuineness, where there's an honesty within. Love doesn't grow in insecurity. But love does grow in security. And I might have mentioned this last night, I'm not sure, but I think we all know the term that people use, and we know what it represents in the way of sexual intimacy, of making love. Do you realize we can't make it? God is love. It's already been made. It can't be added to. It can't be made greater. In a sense, what happens is we enter in and we experience love. And we express that love that God has already designed. And I know we use that terminology and I know what it refers to, but in a very real sense, God is the one that has showed us what real love is. And you can read 1 Corinthians 13, and he clearly defines what it looks like. He designed it. Each individual has five needs. We have a need to be loved. Each individual and spouse has a need to be appreciated. Each individual and spouse has a need for acceptance. Each individual and spouse has a need to feel significant. And each individual and spouse has a need for security. Those five things, when those needs are met, there's something that happens inside and a person feels like they can rest and they can be at ease. Intimacy involves six commitments. One is love. Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Focus on his wife and care. To respect and to honor, to value. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them in understanding, just giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel. Openness and communication, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Appreciation and gratitude, let each of you in particular so love his own wife as himself. And let the wife see that she respect her husband. Submission. Yes, submission. And it's kind of interesting sometimes when, and I talked about this already, but you know, Ephesians says that we're to submit ourselves one to another in the fear of God. And so sometimes we'll have a husband that will say, you know, submission is really my wife's responsibility. But as children of God, we're all called to submit. There's none of us that are exempt. We're all called to submit under him and to allow him. So submission can be a very beautiful thing. And then there's cleansing, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. It's a commitment that we make. God has kind of given us this outline, and he's defined it. There are four intimacy inhibitors, four things or factors that prevent intimacy. One is pressure patterns. We went over those this morning. And they're touching one's pain. There's emotional pain, and there are issues or being touched causing one to react and put up walls. There's unresolved spiritual issues that are blocking intimacy. And the pain of one's past abuse is blocking their ability to respond. And as we take those to the Lord, as we take them to Jesus and we let him clean those up, we're able to resolve each issue from one's past that has damaged us or that has caused damage. We look at the spiritual issue, the emotional damage, the pressure pattern damage, and the abuse issue. And we resolve each issue with our spouse that is keeping us from them from responding to us. We ask them questions. We use words. We focus on their heart. We talk to them. Ask Jesus to give you a picture of your heart damaged. Ask Jesus where your heart is hiding. I've had someone say, and they've described where their heart is, my heart is halfway around the world. and it's been broken in 1,000 pieces, and it's been placed in various cities, and no one will ever find it. Sometimes people have described their heart as being shattered like glass on the floor, and it's in 1,000,000 pieces. I've had people describe their heart that it's just got a big rip right down the middle, and there's no way that it could ever go back. You ask Jesus to heal your heart so it can open and respond to others. Can he heal the brokenhearted? Is he able to take wounds and to make things different in a person's life? Ask Jesus how you can open your heart to respond to your spouse, to children, and to others. Jesus, can you help me see through some of what I see in them and my own assumption of what's happening? Is there something deeper? Is there something more that you want me to see? 4 questions to ask, and we kind of went over this already. Can a husband emotionally love his wife? Can a wife respond to feeling loved by him? And I have to really point out there's 2 specific words in this statement or in these questions that are important. Can a husband emotionally love his wife? What's that look like? How does that feel? How is that going to be practical? How do we put that in shoe leather? And can a wife respond to feeling loved by him? So to emotionally love and to feel loved. There's the little diagram of questions that we will just kind of show sometimes and point those words out. There's a little chart that you give a 1 to 10, and you just kind of, it's like an emotional intimacy chart. And you go down that list, and on a scale from 1 to 10, 10 being the most consistent, define how consistent your spouse responds emotionally to you. Write the number in the blank. Do you feel loved by your spouse? Is your spouse sensitive to your needs? Does your spouse listen to you? Do you feel cherished by your spouse? Does your spouse affirm you as a person? Do you feel understood by your spouse? Is your spouse transparent with you? Does your spouse have an open heart toward you? Does your spouse care about your desires and interests? Does your spouse admit being wrong? Do you view your spouse as your friend? Does your spouse make you feel significant? Does your spouse bring security to your heart? Does your spouse honor you? We focus on our spouse's heart. We take a look. We take the magnifying glass. We get a closer look. How were they damaged? What did they miss emotionally? And we focus to care and give them what they need and desire. I oftentimes will send couples away with this, I call it my prescription. It's like the 10-10-10. You take 10 minutes a day, and 10-10-10 just represents 30 minutes of time. You take 10 minutes a day and you talk heart to heart, 10 minutes each way. You look at your spouse. You direct questions toward them. You ask things of what's going on inside. You use those prompts that I gave you in those emotional questions. And then you hold your spouse for 10 minutes. And in that, you can take them to Jesus. Jesus, do you see my spouse's heart? Would you care for my spouse when I'm gone today? Would you cause my spouse to feel me loving them, or you loving them through me? And would you cause them to feel my love for you too? Jesus, can you reach into their heart? Can you cause them to be able to just rest in you today? Would you cause them to know that I care about them? What you're doing is you're praying, you're taking that person to the Lord in intercessory prayer for them. But what you're also doing is they hear you interceding and you're caring for them in that prayer. And so it's like just making an effort to cause your spouse to feel your sincerity and your devotion. Here's those emotional intimacy questions that you can ask. And you can go back in your little workbook there and find those. You understand your spouse's need, then you focus to care on that. Going back to the 10-10-10, Anytime I've ever had someone, and I know sometimes we get busy, sometimes we neglect it or we overlook it or we don't get there, but it's always something that we can come back to. Whenever we, whenever I have someone call me and say, we've ran into a hiccup or we have a challenge or this isn't really working for us, I'll ask them, how is your connecting time? And with the exception of one, everyone is, I had a couple just recently, and they called, and we had a conference call because there was some struggles. It really wasn't anything to do with their relationship, but it had to do a lot with his employment, interaction with some family members, and he was struggling. And they called, and we were talking with him on the phone, and one of the things I asked him, how's your connecting time? And it was a long pause. No one said anything. And then finally he responded, I remember you talking about that, but I guess that's something that we just quit doing. If you take time to focus on each other, and I'm talking about just in a way that shows the other person, I see you, I'm mindful of you, I'm here for you, it can do a huge, it can be huge in regards to causing them to feel valued and responsive. The only exception I've had is I had one person said to me, this connecting is not working. I see my husband trying, but I don't feel him being sincere. So it's kind of like he's doing this in a formal way, an intellectual way, really expecting me to relax and for us to be able to connect. She said, it's not working for me. And I can see why. It's because there wasn't the authenticity. There wasn't really the genuine, the sincerity there. And she responded to that. You focus on the emotional need for acceptance and love. Give them the emotional support that they've never received. Share statements of commitment, giving them what they didn't receive. Hold them and care for their need. Guard against focusing on your personal need and expecting them to meet your need for love. It's all about them. One of the things in connecting with your spouse, it's all about seeing if you actually can take the focus away from you for 10 minutes and give them your undivided attention and speak into their life. Assisting my spouse. You simply accept your spouse where they are with their problems and issues. You understand the cause of why they are reacting, responding the way they are. You care about the pain, the problem they are experiencing. You lead them to Jesus to resolve it. You just go to the Lord in prayer. And then you make a safe place for them to heal and to feel secure. And you offer that to them as a place where they can unload and they can trust that it's going to be okay. General questions, you just ask questions regarding how's your heart? What are you feeling inside? Do you feel safe with me? Are you willing to open up with me? Questions regarding how you've hurt your spouse. I've been quiet for the last couple days because things have been a little stressful at work. Has that affected you in some way? Have you sensed that I pulled away from you? What's that done to your heart? Can I focus on that to care about it? I'd like to be able to reconnect with you. Questions concerning your spouse's pain. Because she wasn't invited to go to the retreat or along with the people that were doing something special on Saturday, how did that make you feel inside? Can I care about that? You offer positive questions in the way of asking your spouse in a sense of just, and statements along with the questions, I don't ever want you to feel lonely. I don't want you to ever feel like that. I'm not here for you. I want you to know that my commitment to you today is just as much as ever. And I want you to feel that. It's kind of like that guy was saying, you're like the sunset, you're better at sunset than in the morning. And make it real, okay? and make it focused on your spouse. You offer questions connecting heart to heart with your spouse and statements to continue emotional intimacy with each other. Love is powerful. It has a tremendous value, and I believe that it is really one of the most powerful forces that you and I can experience here. There's nothing that really equals it, and it is able to do more than what we could probably even comprehend. And this scripture validates that its power, because it says that love never fails. It never fails. It always works. You know, when I got involved in this ministry, one of the big concerns I had was that what would happen if I offer people a place where they can come and then I make it worse, or if I damage them in some way, or if I just don't know how to walk with them and I hurt them more. I remember when I was just a young boy, I went with my sister. It was a town about 30 miles from me, and there was a friend that she knew that had had a mental breakdown, and they were in a rehab. And so I rode with her because there was no one to ride along, and I remember I was probably more than 12, I was probably 13 or 14 years old. And I remember riding with her, and we went to this facility. We went up on the 6th floor. I can remember it. We got off the elevator. They were those old metal, cold steel, rolled steel metal doors. We got off. It was very sterile, and there was a door there that was locked that had glass, but it had that chicken wire in it. And I remember looking in there, and it was like this big day room, and there was all these people in there. Some of them were playing cards. Some of them were playing chess. And I was like really kind of on pins and needles, kind of scared. I thought, you know, they all seem normal, but they're all mentally unstable. And I wanted to be really careful that I didn't look at someone wrong and set someone off and get thrown out the window or something. I mean, I can remember thinking those thoughts. We rung the buzzer and they let us in. My sister visited with her friend, and I remember just sitting there on the couch, but I was really kind of careful. And there was this guy, and he came over, and he just seemed as normal as anyone I'd ever seen. And he struck a conversation with me. We talked, and I just looked at him. I looked at all the people in there, and I thought, what really happens here? Why are these people here? What is it that they're really struggling with? But the fear factor in me really caused me to not inquire and not to really pursue anything. I just kind of wanted to lay low and not be noticed. You know what someone told me when I started doing this? And I'll never forget it. It's really something that I believe has really helped me in being able to walk through situations and with people. And I'm not claiming that there are times when I don't hit some impasse and I don't know which way to go. But the one thing that they shared with me is this: you'll never damage someone by loving them and being real in that. And I believe that's true. Now, sometimes people won't understand it. Sometimes people don't know how to respond to love. It's almost scary to them. We were always taught to never take candy from strangers. So someone you've never met, and I start reaching out to someone and I commit to them, I'm going to make it safe for you and I'm going to care for you. And then out of that, they look at me and it's like, I hear what you're saying, but what's the catch? I know there's an agenda. There's got to be a trick in here somewhere. And it may take them a little while to be able to open their heart to trust, especially if they've been burnt or if they've been wounded. But if you prove to them that you're real, that you really are authentic, I believe that we can see and witness that love never fails. It works. It works in every circumstance. Sometimes we just have to accept a person that they're not willing to receive that. They may not understand that. They may not see it in us, and we try so hard. You can't force someone to love you back. You can't do it. It's something they have to choose. There's something inside of them that they have to respond to give and to unlock their heart to be able to freely love. I believe when Jesus said, the truth will set you free, I believe the freedom that God really offers is the freedom to be able to receive and give love without anything inhibiting it, and just being able to express that. I'm going to conclude here with a, I want to give this verse. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more. There's a little video clip that I'm going to play here in closing this session. And then for those who feel to participate, we're going to just dim the lights, and I'm going to have you kind of space out a little, and not space out in the way of maybe you are spaced out already, but just have you kind of move apart a little more. I'm not trying to get you to disconnect from each other either, but and then we'll kind of I'm going to have you turn and face your spouse, and I'm going to start with a question or a statement, and I'm going to have you finish it to your spouse. And we'll take about, 30 seconds or a minute? 30 seconds, I think, was enough. 30 seconds in doing that. But I'm going to show you this little video clip first.
Love is patient. Love is kind. Love doesn't boast.
It's not much.
But it's ours.
Welcome home.
Love isn't proud.
I'm sorry. There's no heartbeat.
Love protects.
Have to go.
Have a nice quiet day at work, hon.
Love doesn't envy. Love isn't self-seeking. Love keeps no records of wrongs. Love always trusts and always hopes.
Love doesn't fail. And love is like the catalyst, it's the glue. A catalyst is something that doesn't change its properties. It's always the same. Even though things change that it's mingled or mixed with, it retains its same property. And that's what makes love so amazing, is that it's able to make a difference in someone's life. Now, what I'd like for you to do, if you feel to, and if some doesn't or don't or whatever, I don't want to make someone feel uncomfortable, but I'd like for you to just kind of spread out a little bit, and we'll have you dim the lights, and I'm going to play just a little track here of just, it'll just be soft music, and then I'm just going to have you turn and face your spouse, just kind of look at each other. And I'm going to start a statement. I call it a stem statement or a sentence stem. And then I'm going to have you complete it. Does that sound okay? I hear no objection. Let's see if I can find this little... kind of get here, get this sort of set up so I know that it's working. Okay. I'll let you, whoever's back there, control that. Now I've got, wait a minute, I've got to get the sentence stems. Would help.
Thank you.
It makes me feel so good when you...
Thank you. Father God, we come to you in the stillness and the quietness, in the moment, Lord, when our desire is to go deeper within our hearts. Lord, you've shown us so much of yourself in so many ways that you've been willing to reach out and you've been willing to offer us a way in which we can walk and to cleanse our hearts and to make us acceptable in your sight. Lord, I pray for each one of these couples here tonight that there could be an experience within their own hearts where they could truly feel that level of love and acceptance with each other. That you would bind their hearts together and make them one. That your work would continue and that what work you have begun in them, that you would continue it until the day that you would call them away. And I just pray, Father, that they would be willing to open their hearts to each other and before you, and that you would knit their hearts together in love. I pray that you would remove any obstacle, any block, any walls that might be erected that have been difficult. And if there's been challenges while we've been here in the last couple days, and if there's been areas that have been uncovered or pain that's been experienced, Lord, I just pray that you would cause them to know that you are really a safe place and that they can take all of that to you and you will remove that. I just ask you, Lord, to be with this group of believers and those that have traveled to be here, that you would bless them in a very special way, and that you would cause them as we leave this place tonight, that wherever they go, wherever they reside, and whoever they affiliate with, Lord, that there would be something witnessed in them that has been different. I just pray that you would just prevent the enemy from attacking and trying to destroy the work that you've wanted to accomplish and that you're doing in the lives of your people and especially this group of your children here tonight. I just pray that you would keep us all in your hands, and that you would allow us to be able to experience love in a much deeper way, and that our hearts would be open, that we could be a channel through which your blessing could flow, and that it might reach out to others, that the communities where we live could be affected by the result of your work and your will within our hearts. So I just commit each one into your hands. I thank you for your faithfulness, for your kindness, for your love to us, through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just pray that you would be honored and glorified, and Lord, that you would remove anything that might have been a challenge or a stumbling block for someone, and that you would present a clear path for each of us to walk. We just commit all into your hands. We thank you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I just want to say thank you for giving us the privilege to be here and walking with you and sharing in this event with you. We're humbled that we have been considered and that you would give us the privilege to walk in the path with you like here this last couple days. God just does amazing things through people, and it validates, I believe, and as something, if there has been anything that's been gleaned or that you have gained in the way that is positive here, I just pray that you would embrace that and you would praise God for that. None of us have really been given anything, or we don't have anything but what we've been given. And God certainly is the one. It's like we shared in the one little presentation that it's all about Him, and it's what He's able to do for each of us. I just want to thank you again for the privilege. We have an office in Missoula, Montana. Typically, our schedule schedule runs on anywhere from an 8 to 10 week, sometimes 12, backlog. Right now we would be scheduling in August, and it has just been that way fairly consistently. There are other people that are doing this work, and if we were in another region or another place, or maybe it was more people were more aware of us, we might would even be busier like some other counselors we know. Some of them you can't get an appointment for up to a year. And that would kind of almost discourage me if someone called and they're struggling, or if they would just like to be able to have some place to go, and I had to tell them, well, we can book you in April 2018. Wouldn't that be kind of discouraging? Because usually when people have come to the point to reach out, they're really needing something and they're wanting to move. But I'm only one person just like everyone else, and so we fill our schedules as the call comes in. But I just want you to know, and if you're ever over in Missoula or in the St. Ignatius area and where we are, well, we'd be glad for, you know, to hear from you or to see you. You can stop in. When I'm in session, I put a little sign in the door. So if you come by the office and the sign's up, then it's kind of like the red light at Krispy Kreme Donuts. Not hot donuts being made, but usually there's a little more, well, I won't say hotter stuff going on either, but it's just kind of, we're busy, okay? And so I just ask you to respect that. But may God bless you. You know, we've really appreciated your just your willingness to be a part of this, and I just pray that this could be an enrichment for you and that you could be blessed in it. And I'm grateful again for the privilege that we were asked to come and to share. So God bless you.